Today's Mass, the Mass for the third Sunday of Easter, is marked in a very explicit way with the reality of joy. This is something we hear a lot in the different prayers of this Mass, in the antiphons, in the readings as well. And we rejoice particularly because we are reminded today, and hopefully experience again, the manner, the main way in which we can encounter the risen Christ. This is very important, very relevant for us, because we're not talking here about ideas, interesting ideas, but reality, about life, real life. And in real life, there are days in which we have a hard time experiencing the presence of God. We all have times in which we don't feel that He is present, in which we can get confused. It is interesting, and perhaps even a source of comfort, to see that this happened to His disciples all the time, especially after His resurrection. We know that when He appeared to His closest friends, Peter, John, Mary Magdalene, they all had a hard time recognizing that it was Him all the way. Today, we see that this happened to two other disciples. One of them was named Cleopas. And according to some very ancient traditions, Cleopas was a brother of St. Joseph. So you could say even Uncle Cleopas could not recognize that man was his nephew, Jesus. Now, was this because of their weakness or because God in some way wanted to veil His presence? We don't know exactly. There's a lot that can be speculated about this and has been. But what we do know with certainty is that these two disciples were very confused. They were leaving everything, going back to their normal life, leaving that community. They were sad, gloomy, and deeply disappointed. And the wonderful thing is that Christ joins them where they were. That the Lord did not wait for them to get well and put it together and do well, but that the Lord joined them in their path, in their disappointed and sad path. He wanted to be with them where they were, not where they were supposed to be, exactly where they were. And this is key. Because even though this might sound good, sometimes we struggle with this reality. Why we wonder about God wasting time? Why not acting faster? Why not just fixing the problems? But the Lord wants to walk with us as He did with these two disciples, spending more than 2 hours talking about all these things, very patiently, because the Lord is patient. But of course, we get impatient with God. At times, we even feel angry and we say, I'm mad at God. What a terrible, unfair thing to experience, and yet not an uncommon experience. The patient Christ walks with us and joins us where we are. And when He does that, and when we're open to Him, then the diagnosis, the explanation, the reason for our impatience is exactly the same as it was back then for these two disciples. He says, O foolish, O slow of heart. Foolish, not only lacking understanding, but unwilling to understand, just too self-centered. And then slow of heart, not only slow, but lacking even the desire to care. Now, what happened to them? How were they healed? And so, how can we be healed of these two spiritual diseases? Significantly, these disciples were healed not because they thought or because they talked a lot about their healing, which is important because many times We pay too much attention to our problems and our wounds and our healing and our growth, and we make this wonderful path toward Christ about ourselves, as if thinking about our illness made us well. But Chesterton said once, the mere pursuit of health always leads to something unhealthy. And it is unhealthy to complicate the wonderful simplicity of being a disciple of Christ. It is unhealthy to impatiently complain again and again, and so to miss the presence of Christ in our lives. The good news is that now, as back then, the path is always simple, and what we need is to experience again the beauty, the goodness, and the reality of Christ. That's what changed the lives of these two disciples. That made them understand. That made their hearts burn. And that happened when Jesus did one very specific thing that is explained in four verbs that are used actually in the gospel just a couple of chapters before. He took, blessed, broke, and gave them bread. Emmaus then is the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is the main way in which we experience the presence of the risen Christ. Not a less precious way than what John or Peter experienced, but the most precious way. What Jesus came to establish with his life and with his death and resurrection, his loving and real presence. Emmaus is the Eucharist, and the Eucharist is Emmaus. Each Eucharist, each Mass is a journey. We think about that, it's literally a journey. We travel to come here, physically, but also spiritually. So it might be good to ask ourselves, where are we right now in this very moment in our journey? Are we distracted? Are we thinking about something else? Are we thinking about our woes? Do we realize that the Lord is here? That our hearts perhaps are burning without us noticing? Where are we in the journey of this wonderful Mass? More than anywhere else, this is precisely where our foolishness, where the slowness of our heart are healed as we enter into the journey of this encounter with Christ. And this is why we rejoice today, because the Lord is alive, and although sometimes it gets dark, he always remains with us.